Buenos días. ¿Cómo estás? Me llamo Sharon.
Me llamo Eva.
Me llamo Ivan.
And no, we're not going to do the rest of the presentation in Spanish. That's it for us. I said, hola, hello, buenos días is good morning, and cómo estás is how are you, and me llamo is my name is.
We had a really good experience in Costa Rica, and we were part of a team of 29 Canadians. They came from all over Canada, from Ontario, Alberta, Saskatchewan, and many of them had families with them, like children with them. This was a family trip. And there was a group of four teachers who came together as a group. And there were two girls that traveled alone, individually on our team. And we adopted them into our family, as you can see from this family picture. I don't know how many of you have ever gone on tours on a bus. I have never been on one, but it may be a little like what we experienced. We were all given numbers, and to make sure everybody was on the bus, we had to count through our numbers. We all had to call out our numbers. And occasionally, Gil, who was our team leader, would say, check that your family is on the bus. So we always checked that Ruth Ann and Kim were on the bus with the three of us. We had a wonderful, amazing national team that came along with us. Most of them are volunteers, and they give up their Christmas vacation time to be with us and to help distribute the boxes. And many of them were interpreters for us. So let me introduce you to some of the national team members. Samaritan's Purse is a really well-organized organization in the countries that they serve in. And one organization that they partner with is called Moviendo Esperanza. And that means moving hope. And Sylvia, as you see on the picture here, she works for Moviendo Esperanza. And they work alongside Samaritan's Purse, but they also distribute wheelchairs. They teach women how to earn a living by making jewelry. And they teach people how to make improved and safer cook stoves, among many other things that they do. For Samaritan's Purse, Sylvia is the National Resource Manager, and she oversees the distribution of the shoeboxes in Costa Rica and the training materials. Fernando is her husband. He works as a lawyer, and he was one of our interpreters. Together with their children, Beatrice and Esteban. Their English was really good. Also on the national team was Jason. Jason is 18 years old, and he is the regional trainer. That means for the whole southern part of Costa Rica, he trains and oversees the teachers and how to teach the discipleship program that follows the distribution of the boxes. So he trains them all and he oversees that training program. Enid is the regional resource coordinator, and she chose which churches our team would visit on our trip. Pastor Don Carlos is the national coordinator, and he oversees the entire Operation Christmas Child program for all of Costa Rica. His wife, Marie, also works with Moviendo Esperanza, and she teaches the women how to make the jewelry so that they can make a living. And if you'd like to see some of the jewelry, I'm wearing earrings and a bracelet, and Sharon's wearing earrings as well. The jewelry that they make is all from recycled materials that they can find. Jose was our fearless bus driver, and I mean fearless. It was a very large coach on very narrow, hilly roads and some very narrow passes that we had to go through. And he backed up a driveway, which we couldn't believe it. He actually was able to get this big bus up that driveway. He was amazing. Fabio also works with Moviendo Esperanza. This is a picture of our bus. It was a big luxury coach, more than we were expecting when we went to Costa Rica. We weren't expecting anything this luxurious, but it was wonderful. We could get all of our team and most of the national team on the bus with us, and we traveled together. You'll see on the side of the bus, it says, God is always faithful, and it says it in Spanish and English. And as we drove around the countryside, we had many people stop and look and read. So it was a witness just as we drove by. So our Canadian team leaders were Gil and Kirsten Demas. Gil pastors a church in Alberta, and he volunteers once or twice a year with shoebox distribution trips. He is Mexican, so his English was excellent, and his Spanish obviously was excellent. Andrea and Louis Carlo have been serving with family teams since they were dating. And Sophia, their little daughter, was amazing. And during part of our distribution, she actually handed out books to the children. I think she was about 2.5 or 3 years old. So that's a quick overview of the national team that supported us and cared for us on our trip. So we flew in to San Jose. And the very first night, we stayed in a guest house, and we were like sardines. There were 29 team plus a lot of the national team, both male and female, and we shared 3 bathrooms. So you can imagine what that was like. The next day, we drove for 5 hours south to the Punta Arenas province, where we spent the rest of the week. As we drove, we saw many of the palm groves that are prevalent in the area, and we stayed in a place called Palmar Norte. We passed a lot of pineapple, banana, plantain, and sugarcane fields, which is all very new for us. You know, we don't see this in Canada. Much of the hedges, trees, and plants that we saw were huge house plants, like the plants that we cannot grow outside, but we have them in little pots in our homes. And they were really big. They were hedges. There were all kinds of plants that we recognized that were growing wild in Costa Rica.
So just on that note, Sharon would disappear occasionally, and she'd be taking a picture of some of these plants. Look at how big this, whatever it is. And yeah, I just, okay. All right, moving right along. However, so from Palmar Norte, we traveled to the churches, and it was about a half-hour radius from our hotel that we would travel each day. So we arrived in Palmar Norte on Sunday evening, and then Monday morning we were right up and right out early after breakfast, and we went to some of the churches, and they were often located in the middle of the palm trees and the plantain fields. And of course, temperature was the first thing that I noticed anyway. It was like 34 degrees, which was ouch. however, we prevailed, but it was humid and hot. And they have 2 seasons, the rainy season and the not so rainy season. So we were in the not so rainy season, which it generally rained maybe in the evening, and occasionally, I think it was probably one day we had a little bit of rain in the morning. So we enjoyed the wildlife. Again, Sharon disappeared, taking pictures of geckos climbing on walls and inside lights, iguanas, and of course we woke up every morning to the noise of the macaws. I guess they were the scarlet macaws. They were beautiful, but they maybe didn't sing as nice as they looked. However, so we visited 7 different churches while we were in the province of Punta Arenas in 5 days. So what happened was the children were from the community were invited to a fiesta or a party by the local pastors. They were told how many boxes they would receive and the ages and the gender of each box. The pastor was only to invite that number of children. However, and some pastors maybe didn't quite understand the procedure, or they either didn't listen carefully, because when we got there, we often found that there was more children than boxes. So that created a problem sometimes. But because we were there, we had brought some boxes in our luggage, and we also had extra boxes, so we were able to cover all of the kids that turned up. However, that is not always the case when the pastors are doing it on their own. And just to highlight one of the issues that we had while we were there, on the last day we were giving out boxes, and there was four older boys in the 9 to 13 bracket that we didn't have boxes for. We were able to provide them with boxes. However, one of them did get a age 2 to 4 box because that was all was left. It was the last day, and our stocks were getting low. So you can see that it wasn't always, things didn't quite always go to plan. As I said, the kids were invited to a party. So we would start off at the party, we would do face painting, nail painting, coloring bubbles, frisbee, and of course soccer. So I did try to chase that little white bag of wind, as they talk about around the field, in 34 degrees. So that was a bit of a challenge for me, but anyway.
We put him in front of a fan when he came in afterwards.
They thought I was having a stroke or something.
It was the hottest day that day, so.
Yeah, it was the first day, so I hadn't really, it's a wonder I didn't pull a muscle. Anyway, or something else. Anyway, we did manage, and so Eva did quite a bit of face painting for most of the week, and the children were coming in. They were sweating. So we had to dry off their faces and then go to the face painting. After we would play for a period of time, then the kids would be brought back into the church, and they would sit on the floor of the church and listen to the gospel message. Sometimes we would sing and do actions. They would sing in Spanish, and of course we would try to sing along in English. And we made a harmonious noise. Sometimes we were asked to help present material, and like in the photo, you see Canadian kids that are holding up the pictures while Sylvia is talking about God creating the world and Jesus, how much he loves them and died for their sins. Different leaders had different ways of presenting the lessons, but in every case, they would lead the children in a prayer of salvation and that they were able to invite Jesus into their hearts. Then the kids were given a book called Le Meilleur Regalus, meaning the best gift. Sorry if I totally made a mess of
El
that.
El Mejor Regalo.
Okay, I stand corrected. Meaning the best gift. It was the story of Jesus, and it is wonderful to see just how the children were engaged and engrossed in the book as they read and looked at the pictures. Then came the special moment, the shoeboxes. The shoeboxes were in front of the church, hidden under blankets. When the books were given out, the children were asked if they were ready for one more big surprise. The cover was taken off the boxes, and the boxes were handed out to each child. Then they were told that the greatest gift of all is Jesus, and that these boxes are to show them how much he cares for them. They were then asked to hold up the boxes and say, Gracias Dios, thank you Jesus.
Okay, there was sound on this, but
that's just a short little snippet of, we didn't get great videos, unfortunately, but that was a snippet of all the kids holding the boxes up saying, thank you, God, which was just really special. I was sitting in the middle of like probably 75 kids, I think, that day. So that was really special. And then the next part, obviously, was a lot of fun, not only giving them their boxes, then we got to help them open them, and they got to see what was packed in there. So that was really great. There were some interesting things that they got excited about, which I'll get into in a minute. So my daughters go to Plattsville Christian School, and we were able to pack boxes with the school, and I had promised the school that I would take boxes that the school kids had packed, and I put the class photos in. So that was really special that we brought four boxes with us from their school and were able to choose a child that we had connected with during the party time before giving out the boxes, and we could sit with them and then give them our box from home, and I could show through the interpreters, obviously, tell them the story of how my daughter's school packed these boxes and show them the photos of the kids that packed them. So that was really special as well. So we found that the kids were excited about some surprising things. One lady had mentioned she was sitting with a girl who was really excited about a pen because it clicked. It had the thumb clicker on the end, and it made that sound, and I guess that's not common there. So something we use every day and don't even think about it, but she was excited about this little pen. There's another boy who was really excited about a bag of Lego. He didn't know what it was, but just because he shook the bag and it made that cool sound. And one of the children from our team was able to help him open it and show him, you know, that you can actually do something with it. It's not just for sound. So that's kind of neat. It doesn't stop with that gift, though. Like, we saw just a little portion of these children's journey, just, you know, like an hour of their time where they got to open these boxes. But the children are invited back to this church after we leave. And they can come for the discipleship program. So it's a 12-week program where a trainer, Jason, on our national team, has trained the teachers how to present this material in these churches. And they get to come back and learn more about God. When they graduate, they get another party. They make a big do about it. They get a gown and a cap. They get a Bible of their very own in their own language and a little certificate to show that they have graduated. And this is our opportunity to reach these children and teach them about God. Unfortunately, we didn't get to attend any of those graduation ceremonies because none of them happened to be ending on the week that we were there, but we were told all about it. And Moviendo Esperanzas, they are trying really hard. They're having struggles getting the discipleship program and shoebox program into schools, keeping it in schools. Just like here, a lot of the schools are kind of pushing back against anything that talks about God. They had to change the name and call it a values program instead of, Operation Christmas Child Discipleship Program. The reason they want to get in and stay in the schools is because the attendance for the program is 100%. Because the parents don't have to take them to a church, the kids are already at school, so they're going to stay. They're going to want to stay and learn about this. So the attendance is 100%. If we do the shoebox program in a church, we only get 40% of the kids back because the parents have to take them to the church. So they're not as willing to do that, unfortunately. After giving out the boxes, we had the opportunity to pray with each of the pastors in the church, which was really special. We were able to bless them with a bag of items we brought from items from home, like soccer balls and craft items that they could use in their church after we were gone. We also had the opportunity to bless this elderly couple here. They've been serving at their church for 30 years. Their church and community was the most poor that we saw. Their church needed some repairs that they couldn't afford. Their home needed repairs. They had a roof beam in their house that was all eaten by termites and in danger of falling down. So Sylvia, who organizes all the funding for our trip and decides where that's going to go and how it's going to be used, we had a little bit of extra money left over, so we were able to, she decided with the other team members that this couple could use it the most, and we agreed. So we were able to give them money to do those repairs in their home and their church, so that was kind of exciting to bless them that way as well. So Costa Rica is the safest Central American country. There's obviously a lot of unrest. I don't know if you've heard in Mexico, El Salvador is kind of dangerous right now. Costa Rica is very safe, so that's why it was chosen for this family team, because there's children on this team. And it's not the most poor. We did see some communities that were looked a little more well off, but even in those communities, these children were lucky to get one meal a day, is what we were told. These pictures here, I didn't take them because I couldn't get a good shot of some of those communities, but that was a common sight, kind of lean-to buildings out in the middle of the banana fields, cut off from no electricity, no running water. They didn't really have a lot of neighbors. Probably these people worked in the banana fields or the plant picking plantains, that kind of thing. So it was eye-opening to see that kind of poverty as well. And Kirsten, our team leader, she told us of a trip to Africa where kids lived in houses like this made out of skids, and they still came out with white, clean, pressed t-shirts or dress shirts because the parents want to bring the kids to these parties. They might hear that we're coming, the Canadians are coming, so they want to put their best out there. They want to show that, because they're embarrassed about the way they live, so they make an effort to make their kids look the best that they can. So just looking at the pictures, go to the next one. Just looking at the pictures, they might look like they're, you know, pretty well off. They look pretty well dressed, well kept, but it's kind of all a show. You know, their home life might not be what you think it is just by looking at how they dress. So that's likely their only good set of clothing. We had a lot of parents that were very concerned about the face paint, and they were asking us if it would wash off clothes. And we didn't understand why these parents kept asking us, but then when we talked with their team leaders and they said, you know, that's probably their only good set, then that made sense, you know, because they don't want to ruin that. We had one distribution. Unfortunately, we didn't get a photo of this lady. She showed up, and she had 10 children. And they were not invited to the fiesta because her children lived so far away they could not come back to attend the discipleship program. And we can't give out boxes if they can't come to the discipleship program, because that's obviously the most important part. We want to talk to them about Jesus, have them learn about God and accept God. So we couldn't just, you know, give out boxes to anyone that we wanted to. But Fabio, one of the nationals, went out to talk with her, and She would talk with her hand over her mouth because she had really bad teeth and she was really embarrassed and she couldn't afford the dental work to fix her teeth. And she was just telling him about how, you know, she wishes she had money to feed her kids and buy them nice things and fix her teeth so she wouldn't be embarrassed. And even though we couldn't give out any boxes to them, Fabio just talked with her and prayed with her, and he said, you know what, the best thing you can do for your children is give them a relationship with Jesus Christ. And she gave her heart to the Lord right then and there, which was really special. And we did have some extra stuffed animals that we were able to give the children for instances like this, because it does happen. So they didn't go home empty-handed, and she went home with a relationship with the Lord, which was special. Yep. And that's something that happens, like the national team didn't bat an eye at that. They do that, you know, that's common for them here. There are opportunities in Canada, yes, but they're not as obvious, and they, you know, it happens all the time there. So it was really eye-opening. Like, I had to go to a different country to see this. So it was interesting. So Samaritan's Purse has a goal to give one shoebox to one child once in their lifetime. They don't do it every year. They don't get one every year. This is our one opportunity to share the gospel through shoeboxes with these children. During our one-week trip, we gave out approximately 350 boxes, and Costa Rica received about 60,000 this year for the whole country. And then just some more information. So Pastor Don Carlos was telling us about the shoeboxes that they receive in Costa Rica. The majority of them are the age range of 5 to 9 for boy and girl, about 50% of them. So it's just sharing information that if you want to try and spread into the age 2 to 4 range or the 10 to 14, then the churches can invite a broader range of children. It's just something that they asked us to share. All right, and so some other findings on our trip. People have been asking, you know, what we learned, and there's nothing wrong with our boxes. I want to highlight that. But there were just things that we found in the boxes that we opened. First of all, it was mentioned that 24 of the Operation Christmas Child shoe boxes fit into a carton, a shipping carton. So if we use a shoe box from home, it's totally fine. It just means that it's usually a bigger box, and then you don't get as many boxes in the shipping carton, and therefore less gets sent to that country. It was also hard to watch some of the children. Someone got a really big box and ran us over to their friend, and their friend got, you know, the standard size Operation Christmas Child box, and it was hard to see them compare, and they were wondering why didn't I get a bigger box? So anyway. And we also want to make sure that there are quality items being packed. Even though the shoeboxes go to a processing center and are inspected and things taken out and looked at, there were still some boxes that unfortunately didn't have all the items that they should have. Some didn't have any toys. Some only had school supplies, which, yes, they can be used, but these are children that are getting them, and opening a box of notebooks maybe wasn't as exciting as it could have been. I have been guilty of this. I've been guilty of packing a box just for the sake of getting another one out there and saying, okay, that's good enough. But we found that it really isn't. Just keep in mind that, you know, they're kids. They still like to play with toys. They still like the shiny things. I know you want to pack a lot of things they can use. Also remember the fun, too, to pack the fun things for them. Just consider if it's something that you give to a child their age in Canada. So at the processing center, I'll just touch on that for 1 second. They take out any inappropriate items that they're not supposed to be sent, like breakable items or anything that leaks. And then to replace those, they put gift-in-kind items in to refill the box up to where it should be. So some churches I have heard, they don't even pack shoeboxes. All they do is send gift-in-kind items to the processing center to be used as filler items. So if that's something that you're interested in doing, there's the link there, and they're accepting items all year long to be used as filler items. And all of the Canadian shoeboxes go to these countries. They're all warm, very warm climates. Costa Rica stays between the temperature of 23 and like 35 all year long. It doesn't fluctuate very much. So when we were seeing kids open boxes with really fuzzy winter hats and really thick mitts, they were still excited, but we were like, oh, are you really going to be able to use this? The kids made good out of it. They put the little thin finger mitts that we get from the dollar store, they thought were goalie gloves. So they were really excited about that, and they used them as goalie gloves. So just to wind down here, we are preparing already for next season. Yeah. I want to get a head start on it. I've already been hitting the Boxing Week sales and buying stuff. So we have a box out in the lobby if you want to participate in this. So each month we're going to highlight a different item, a suggestion that you can put in, and we will collect all these items, save them, and we'll use them for the packing party in the fall to pack a whole bunch of shoeboxes like we did this past year. So February we're focusing on accessories, so any hairbands, barrettes, watches, sunglasses, fun stuff like that. And next month is quality crafts, so if you like to knit or if you have any handiness with woodworking or anything like that, that could be a toy or something that a child could use. We're doing that next month, so you could get busy on that if you want to. We want to thank you in advance for any contributions this year, and especially for last year and all the work that you did for the packing party, packing boxes, praying for us, supporting us going on this trip. And if you have any questions at all about anything that we mentioned, I know we kind of flew through this, so if you want clarification on anything, please talk to us. And just lastly, we highly recommend that you take that step, and if you're feeling led to go on a missions trip, do it. Don't wait. Just That's what I did. I just signed up, and I'm like, okay, God, if you want me to do this, we got to get the money in order somehow, because I didn't have that sitting around in the bank. And if it's his will, he'll make it happen. And it's just, it was so special. It'll not only bring you closer to God, it will open your eyes to how others live. And we were so touched as well by our national team members and the work they do all year long. They slave away all year long at this, and we saw just a tiny snippet of it. We really felt a connection with our brothers and sisters in Christ from thousands of miles away. And our hearts ached for the children we saw that no longer knew how to smile and some of the conditions that they lived in. But have courage and take that step. You'll be richly blessed by it, and you'll richly bless them as well.
When I was, when we first arrived in Costa Rica, I read, just in my morning devotionals, I read Isaiah 55. And then we headed out for our day as it was planned for us. And throughout the week, various verses of that chapter kept coming to my mind. And by the end of the week, I realized, okay, God, you are making this chapter a declaration over Costa Rica and over the workers on the Samaritan's Purse team. Now, I do have a whole message here for you, but I'm not going to do that to you. I just want to show you, just highlight a few things about the chapter. The first part of Isaiah 55, well, the middle says, come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. And it goes on to say, listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. And this reminded me of the lady that Sharon told you about, this lady that wanted her children to have get shoeboxes, and she was embarrassed about her teeth. And Fabio was able to lead her to the Lord. And in essence, what he said to her was, eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. And that's what she did. She chose the better thing. It reminds me of the story of Mary and Martha in Luke. When Jesus came to visit, and Martha was getting all bent out of shape because she had all this work to do. And Jesus said, Mary has chosen the good portion, the better portion, to sit and listen at his feet. Verse three goes on to say, it's verse four, see, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. You know, God is calling the nations of the world to himself. And the thing that stood out to me the very most on the whole trip was our brothers and sisters in Costa Rica. These people, they have the same daddy that we have. They are our brothers and sisters. They believe the same scripture. They love Jesus. They want to serve him in Costa Rica and in many other parts of the world. And we had an amazing national team that spent time with us and loved on us as much as their own people. And we could see their hearts and compassion for their own people and for their children. As you can see, a picture speaks a thousand words. So as you can see from this image, you can see Pastor Don Carlos just loving on that pastor for 30 years. He was an old man. His wife was an old lady. And they wanted to minister to these little children who are so full of energy. And this elderly couple looked so weary and so tired. And he was just loving on them and encouraging them. Verse five goes on to say, surely you will summon nations you do not know, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Now, as we traveled on the coach to the various churches, we saw the beauty of the land. And we knew that there were areas in the country with impressive vacation resorts on beautiful beaches. We didn't really get to hang out with any of those tourists from all over the world, but they do come from all over the world. And people that they do not know come running to Costa Rica to vacation because he has endowed the country with splendor. And the tourists are helping their economy, and God is blessing their nation right now. Verse 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near. Now, I don't know a lot about the history of Costa Rica, but I am aware that there have been coups in the past. The current leader who took over the country after a coup chose to disband the military. So they have no military in Costa Rica, but he directed all the money from the military to schools. So most of the country are literate. About 80% of the country is literate. Now, things change. Things are really good for the country at this point in time. But you know, over time, the leaders change, generations move on, and people get forgetful. And it reminds me of Egypt, when Joseph was honored and his family were honored in Egypt, and they were given land to settle in. And then a new pharaoh came along, and there was a new generation, and all that history was forgotten, and the people were mistreated. And as Sharon said, the world is getting harder toward the things of God, and the children being refused in the schools when the discipleship program that was is being refused in the schools when it was going so well, and they were reaching so many children. And the team are doing the best they can to help the children to seek the Lord while he can be found. Verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Just like us, the national team make plans, they prepare. They have churches that commit to the program. They have children that come to the programs. But sometimes it can be disappointing in the numbers that return, or things just don't go the way that they had planned and they had hoped. And they can get discouraged, just like we can. And when God talks about your thoughts and your ways, he's talking in general terms that the thinking of humankind is so different to God's thinking. That sometimes what we see as a disappointment, he sees actually as a success. And because he sees so much further ahead than we do. And simply, sometimes plans are made in human terms and they're not God's plans. And that's why sometimes things don't turn out. But this, I felt, was an encouragement to the team to keep going, to keep pressing on, because God has his hand on all of it. And these verses are a reminder to us that God's ways are so much better than our own, and we need to press on. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, make it bud and flourish as it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Pictures never do justice to what you actually see in person. We all know that. Costa Rica is a lush, green, and a beautiful, colorful country. The flowers are beautiful. There are orchids growing on trees. Poinsettias are hedges. There are lemon trees, coconut trees, plantain trees. And the heat and the humidity are a perfect environment for the vegetation to thrive. One day in particular, we had a really heavy downpour of rain. It was lovely, warm rain. And it was in the evening, we sat in an outside restaurant that had Perspex Lexan over the roof, so we weren't getting wet, but we could see the rain falling. And these verses came to my mind, and I thought, the rain is making all this vegetation flourish. And the Lord prompted me that he is making all the work that the nationals are doing to flourish. You know, it says that his word will not return to him void. And as they keep pouring out their hearts and their lives into these children in Costa Rica, they will reap a harvest. Even what we did in our 1 week there, we helped to plant the seeds. Not all of us can go overseas on mission trips, but we have a mission field right here in Stratford, in Elgin. We have that 4 to 14 window here. They need to hear the gospel, and someone needs to reach them. I'm so thankful for our volunteers. I'm wrapping up. Our volunteers here in Elgin, I so appreciate them. We wouldn't have the programs that we do without our volunteers. There are those that lead, those that are creative, those that are administrative, and those that just love on the kids, just hang out with the kids and spend time with them. You know, every volunteer is valuable, whether you're doing it in Costa Rica, whether you're doing it in Guatemala with the Browns, whether you're doing it in Bulgaria with JM, or Africa with Anna Vandenhoven, or in our classrooms across the hallway. Just to finish up, verse 12, you will go out with joy and be led forth in peace. And then verse 13 says, instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, instead of briars the myrtle will grow. You know, hardened hearts that are prickly can be softened by the good news of the gospel, and often that comes through the children. Salvation came to my household through my brother. And one by one, we all gave our hearts to the Lord. And I was 6 years old, and I clearly remember giving my heart to the Lord on a rocky beach in Newcastle in Northern Ireland. And this will be the Lord's renowned for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. This is all for God's glory, an everlasting sign as the children commit their lives to Jesus, both in Costa Rica through the Shoebox program and here at Elgin. They trust him in their struggles as that foundation is laid. And like the woman at the well, Jesus offers water that is life-giving and everlasting. And there will come a day that we will be joyful and we will see the fruit of our labor. And Jesus will say, good and faithful servant, enter into your rest. And I pray that you will not grow weary in what you're doing here in whatever area you're serving in, because God has called you to it, or maybe he's calling you to something. I'm going to finish there, and our time has gone. So we sang this morning in our service, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, black and yellow, red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love and your goodness and your grace. And Lord, we recognize that you were not just here in Elgin. You were not just here in Canada, but you are all over the world and you are touching and changing lives. And we thank you and we praise you for that. Help us not to focus on the negatives in the news, but help us to focus on the good things that you are doing across the world and the lives that are coming to you. I pray, Father, that you would stir our hearts in whatever way you choose whether we volunteer or whether we give or we spend time in prayer. Because of the children and the people in these other countries and for the children here at Elgin and the programs that we have here. We pray, Father, that you would touch each heart and that we would all be challenged and changed. And as we finish, I would say, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Amen.